If you'd open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, that's where we're going to take our lesson from this morning in what I feel to be one of the more powerful, one of the greater statements made in the New Testament regarding especially the idea of faith. Don't know if you've ever seen a sign like this before, or if you can even read that. That's darker than I thought it was going to be, but I've seen a sign like that in several places, or a bumper sticker on the cash register. It says, "In God we trust, all others must pay cash." And so, don't know if you've seen one of those before or not. It's certainly a statement by somebody that just don't have the trust or the faith in you to let you write a check to me or some other form of payment. I got to thinking about that sign or that bumper sticker, as I've seen, and thought in terms of that being a motto of our country and being printed on our money. Used to be a motto that was probably fairly well stated as to the belief, at least, of many of the people who were involved. These days, it seems much more like an idea of the past. We still have it printed on our money, but we live under a government that seems to seek to make sure that we understand above and beyond all else our rights and establish laws for our rights that really promote even the idea of doing the very things that those who would trust in God would not do. We have the freedoms to do that. And because of that, I think that mentality starts to leave us a little bit. But in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul makes an incredible statement as about the foundation of his life. And I want us to think in terms of that, because there are others like Paul that still have these great affirmations of faith. People who will stand strong, not only in times of prosperity, but in times of great difficulty, or people that you meet even in the very face of death that have great faith and great statements of faith and absolute trust in the Lord. I know that when we were down in Florida, not for the funeral, but the trip before that, when we got a chance to visit with Ralph Walker Sr., made some great statements of faith as far as where his life was, where his trust was, even heading very closely behind that to the end of his life on this earth. There are people that have that kind of faith. I think Paul had that as well. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, did I say 2 Timothy or 1st? 2 Timothy? Okay, thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 is that statement where Paul is talking about, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." That's the rendering out of the New American Standard Bible. Paul's in some pretty adverse circumstances. Paul finds himself in jail. And that alone, for most Christians, would bring with it some difficulty, even by way of attitude. There would typically be a guilt associated with that, or a shame associated with that, that I'm a Christian and I'm finding myself in jail for some violation of the law, except that the laws that Paul violated were those things that stood directly contrary to God's word. And so Paul was in prison because of preaching the gospel. And much the same as Peter said on one occasion, we must obey God rather than man. If the two come into conflict, then you're just going to have to stand up for God and suffer whatever consequences. And that's where Paul found himself. But I just want us to kind of break down the statement of Paul. Look at a few of the things that he said in regard to the idea of the faith that he had. And I want us to just real quickly go back and just touch on what it is God has done for us to give us that kind of faith, to provide us that kind of faith. And there are several different things. This lesson is entitled, "I Know Whom I Have Believed." The basis of Paul's faith is not a what, it's a whom. He says, "I know whom I have believed. I know who it is that I have put my trust in, and that's where he's going to get his confidence from. And so as he thinks about that, where did he get that confidence? Where did that faith come from? I think it came for him the same as it comes for any of us. God revealed himself to Paul so that he could have faith, so that he could know him. God reveals himself so that we can know him, so that we can have a relationship with him. And he reveals himself in several different ways. He reveals himself in creation itself. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it tells us that since the beginning of time, it says his invisible attributes are seen in his visible creation. And he says, God has given us that. You need to tap into that resource. You want to believe in God? Take the time to be amazed by the wonder of his creation. That's a part of his revealing. That isn't where it stops, but he says we ought to be able to even see things about God just based on looking around us. But he says in addition to that, he's revealed himself in the Scriptures. Look at Romans chapter 15. As Paul's writing to the Romans, he says things were written for a reason. Romans chapter 15. Verse 4 reads, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and comforts of the Scriptures we might have hope." I get belief in this. We talked about this in our class on Sunday. How important it is to understand that the Bible is absolutely full of promises. And the only way that you can understand the promises that are made to us is by understanding the promises that were made to those that were before us. And the only way that you can understand the faithfulness of God to the promises to us is to see God and the faithfulness to the promises that went before. And he said, things were written so that we could learn. And so as we see God making statements to people and making promises to people, even though sometimes the people had difficulty believing, even though sometimes, like Abraham and Sarah, they circumvented the very plan of God to try to bring about the result that God had promised, God said, "I'll give you a son." And he gave them a son. Not in their time frame or not in the way they would have thought, but God did exactly what he said. He wants us to understand through the Scriptures he has revealed himself. He's told us that he is a very faithful God. He tells us that he's a God that cannot lie. Anything you read about him, he helps us understand, has to remain true. He says, look at him in the Scriptures. As you see the creation account, and as you see God dealing with his people of old, doing things that were both greatly beneficial to the Israelites and things that were incredibly judgmental and wrathful against the Israelites when they stepped out of his will, he says, all the way around, what you learn is something about God. I can know something about God. I can know God because God tells me who he is. He shows me who he is. But he said, not only did I show you in the world things about him, and you think about what you can know about God from the world. I'm saying from the creation. Yeah, I mean, you can know things about his beauty, can't you? I'm saying God's sense of beauty, can you pick that up from the world? Or God's sense of majesty, or even was prayed tonight, God's power. All of those things you can see just in creation itself. But there's some things that you can't see. You can't see God's will in the world that's around us. And so he revealed himself. And he says, let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you what it is that I'm asking for, what it is that I'm looking for in your life. But there are things that you can't really see only through even the Scriptures. And so he gave us a more complete picture than that and revealed himself in his Son. That's the very point of the writer in Hebrews when he said God used to talk through the prophets and through the patriarchs or the fathers. But now he's given his Son. And we're told things like Jesus is the express image of God. So not only do you have the ability to read things about God and what he would like from us, God says, let me show you exactly how I would do it if I was in your place. And he did. He sent his Son so that we could see that Jesus walked on the earth. And when we try to understand, God says, love your brother, or God says, love your enemy, and we understand intellectually that's what He tells us to do, and then He says, let me show you exactly how to do that. And His Son comes down to this earth and walks so that we can see. Paul says, I've seen all those things. Paul had seen the world. Paul had read the Scriptures. Paul had seen Jesus, not in due time like some others, but he had seen Him in that appearing. But it wouldn't make any difference. Even had he not seen Him, he could see Him like we do through the revelation of God's Word. And the account of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, who saw Him walk on the face of the earth. When John says, we didn't just see Him, we held Him, we touched Him, we were with Him. We can tell you everything about Him. We can see Jesus as well. So Paul says these things. Paul says the goal is to get to know God. That's why God revealed Himself. Because to know Him is to trust Him. He says, I have believed and am convinced. You know what? This is not an issue of, you know what? There's some favorable things out there pointing toward God, and I kind of understand what you're saying. He said, I know Him, and because of that, I believe and am convinced absolutely. He had absolute trust in His God. And I think that's what He's asking us to do. He's saying we need to have the kind of trust that He has. We need to have the kind of belief system that He has. Paul says, I have absolute trust in God because of that. The revelation was designed for that very purpose, to bring him to faith. And that's what it did. God revealed through nature, through the Word, through His Son, was all designed to bring Paul and others to faith. And Paul said, there is so much evidence there between what I can see, what I can read, and what I know about the Son of God. I am absolutely convinced. And I think that is the point that Paul's making. He says, I'm in dire straits here in the prison, but I'm willing to suffer all of that because I know whom I've believed. I know God. And I absolutely am convinced and put my trust in my God, that He is faithful and that He is able. That there's nothing that God has said that He can do that He can't do. There's no predicament that I can be put in. That's why this is the same Paul that wrote to the Philippians and said, everything God wants me to do, I can do. Why? He said, it's Jesus Christ living in me. I can do all things through Christ. The one who lives in me, the one who is my power. And Paul said, God is able to do with my life everything that He wants to do with my life. Sometimes we just don't challenge ourselves enough to let God work through us. I love the description of one man who was talking about getting the concept. He lived out west in California, and he was describing it this way. He said, when I first got the concept of God working through me, he said, was when I was watching a group of people that were surfing. He said, imagine you're a surfer. And somehow or another, you perceive it to be your job or your chore to make the wave. He says, you're just going to be hopeless. You can't, if the waves aren't there, you can do all you want. You can try and stir the water up or do anything you want. You're not going to make the waves. But he said, when I realized that a surfer's only job is to ride the wave that God made, he said, I had a better understanding of what my role was. I think that's, for me, a good analogy. Sometimes I fight hard to try to do the work of God rather than fighting hard to let myself be open so that God can do His work through me. I think He'll do that if we'll tap into His power, if we'll allow Him to be the director of our lives. But he says not only to know God is to trust Him, he says to trust Him is to give our lives to Him. Look what he continues to say. 2 Timothy chapter 1, "For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded," or convinced, the New King James says persuaded, "that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted to him." He's able to keep, as we just said, he's able to do, but he says, "that which I've entrusted to him." Trusting God means I have to give him something. Paul says, here's what I believe. I believe God is able to keep that which I've given to him. What have I given to God? What is it that Paul's given to God? He says, I trust that he's able to keep that. I think he is able to keep that which I've entrusted to him. He's entrusted some things to us. That's the way he describes the word in our hands. He's entrusted the word to us. Are we going to use it properly? The whole idea of the parable of the talents are those things that God has entrusted to us. What are we doing with them? But Paul says, I fully believe, absolutely convinced, that he can take care of that which I've entrusted to him. Think about the trust, the things that we put our trust in God for. We trust his grace for our forgiveness. I believe absolutely that my soul is in the grace of God. He says, I turn that over to him completely, and I trust, absolutely, I entrust my soul into the hands of God, that he will forgive me, just like he said that he will forgive me. Secondly, I give my mind to God. In James, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But I work hard sometimes in this life to achieve wisdom. And he's saying, make sure you understand what it is you're striving for. I give my mind to God. I want him to fill it with his wisdom and with his word. I entrust my soul. I entrust my mind to God. I entrust my life to God, to his providence, that he'll watch out for me the way that he said that he would, that he'll do all the things that he said that he would. When I get caught up or consumed like the rest of the world does, or as he says, like the Gentiles do when Jesus was on earth, he said that, and I get caught up in that syndrome that's saying, you know what, you better work hard so that you can provide your roof over your head and so that you can provide for yourself, and easy to get caught up in that material world. God says, trust me. I'll give you what you need if you'll follow me first. If you'll just seek after me with all your heart. And so Paul's saying, I'll go wherever God wants me to go. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. He's got my soul. He's got my mind. He's got my very life on this earth. And then I trust my judgment to him in the end. Because all things are not right here. We know that. We talked about that Sunday. Probably the one thing that causes more people to disbelieve in God than any other single thing is the idea that this world is so unfair that there couldn't be a God. And people are challenged with that. Christians are challenged with that. 3 times this week, I received emails that talked about the lack of fairness in life. And I agreed completely with all 3. That doesn't change the fact that it is unfair. But I trust the justice of God, that all things will be made right in the end if I give him my life while I'm here. That's what Paul said. Paul says, I've entrusted something to him. I've given him my soul and my mind and my life. And I've given him judgment. That's his. That's not mine. That's his. He says to give our lives to God is to know that he guards them. I love the way that he ends this. He says, I've committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, the good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. He says, God has given us something. We've given something to God, but God commits something to us. Now, I'm not here to give you an explanation of this evening, or to even lead you in the direction that it is in some way miraculous or against your will. It is not. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. But here's what Paul said to Timothy. Paul told Timothy, you keep it. God is guarding you. God is watching over you, but you keep it by the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. God has given me an earnest, he says, a down payment. He's given me his Spirit. Each of us have been given the Spirit of God to dwell inside of us. And he says, and if I will turn myself over, what God has said is, I will guard you. I will protect you. I know who are mine. And nobody can ever snatch you away from God. God commits that to us. And I have to tell you, that's a great God. He told the Jews of old, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. He says, don't ever lose sight of that. God has made a commitment to you and to me. You give your life to him, I assure you, God says, that I will guard you and take care of you in this life so that you can come home and spend an eternity. And then we commit something to God so that we can have what he commits to us. I mean, think about that incredible statement of faith that Paul has made. Paul's in prison and says, I suffer these things, no question, but I'm not ashamed of them. I'm glad to be in prison, that's fine, because I know the God that I believe in and I give him my absolute life. That's what he's looking for from us. When we accomplish that, when we entrust him with every bit of our being, then we become what he wants and needs us to become in his kingdom. We just fight against it sometimes, I think, rather than just absolutely, totally submit our lives to God. But that's what Paul said. Paul said, he's got everything that I've got because I know it's safe with him. You want your life to be safe, your mind and your thoughts to be safe, your soul to be safe, your judgment to be safe, hand it over to God. He says, you hand it over to me, I'll take care of what I said I'll take care of. That's how we become, I think, most effective in his kingdom. The more we submit, the more we give him, the more he does through us. We've gone back several times to Ephesians 3. And I truly hope that is the mindset that we try to keep and that we continue to have as we push forward. When Paul wrote to those brethren and said, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or even think, according to the power which works through us. That's what we should be looking for. Not just better things, but above and beyond greatness for the kingdom of God. He can do that if we'll allow him to do that. If you're not a Christian, I hope you'll take care of that tonight. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who say, I give you everything that I've got. That's what you're willing to do. We hope you'll do that tonight. If you don't know what that means, if you don't know what he asks of you, talk to us. We'd like to share that with you. For those of us that are Christians, if you're like me, This world fights against that mindset all the time. All the time. We need to trust God and put Him in every single day so that we don't get defeated by the mindset of the world. If we can help you respond to God's call, let us know while we stand, while we sing.